from the Star Rentals Sports Desk. Your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. 4 o'clock on the dot. Busy Friday right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. Look at this big crowd, by the way. They just walked in here to see us on the air. Oh, they came in to have drinks and dinner. I'm sorry. Yeah, I thought you were here for us.
They're
Whatever. The doors are open at Jimmy's, hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight before the Rays and M's in Game 2 of 4 in that series. Headlines, of course, are brought to you by our friends at Buddy's. Curtis and Glass, it's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
Does it make any sense?
It does not.
How about some NBA basketball? Sixers in Miami tonight with a Heat up 2-0. Pretty pivotal game tonight there, Dickie.
Yes, sir.
Joel Embiid has cleared concussion protocol, but still doubtful for tonight's game. And Phoenix looking for a 3-0 lead on Dallas in the West semis at 6:30.
Speaking of hoops, Storm open up the regular season tonight at Climate Pledge Arena, 7 o'clock against the Lynx, the first regular season basketball game at the new arena.
Sounders winning Wednesday in the CONCACAF Champions League final. They're going to have to go at it again, though, tomorrow against Dallas on the road. 5:30 kickoff here on KJR. Brian Schmetzer again telling us yesterday, Joao Paulo done for the year with a torn ACL.
KJ Wright says he wants to return to the Seahawks, and if they don't sign him, he will likely retire. He explained on a podcast that he left his family in Seattle last year while he played for the Raiders and does not want to do that again.
I got KJ Wright on record saying he wants to play for the Hawks, and if they don't sign him, he'll spill the beans on Pete Carroll and John Schneider. He has embarrassing details on Pete. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. UW baseball tonight versus UCLA rained out. They'll do a doubleheader tomorrow. Matt Anger, the longtime men's tennis coach at UW, by the way, after 28 years, is stepping down. How about a little fun with audio right now?
It's now time for Softy and Dick's Fun with Audio.
Jimmy G, porn star Jimmy, Mr. Garoppolo.
Presented by Body Armor. More than a sports drink with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. Now, let's have some fun with audio.
God, is it just me, or does it feel like forever since we've done this? Fun with audio.
It has been forever.
Were we on the air last Friday? Was I on the air last Friday with you?
Yes.
I was?
But we... Man, what were we doing?
Must not have been a memorable show.
Well, it's draft week, right?
Oh, there you, we didn't do it.
Draft week.
We haven't done it in 2 weeks.
That's right.
We have not done Fun with Audio in 2 weeks. I missed it. I like this segment every Friday at 4 o'clock. So let's get right to it. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dick?
What's that, Dick?
Let's get to our old buddy John Sterling during the Yankee-Blue Jay game on Monday. Longtime Yankee radio play-by-play man John Sterling was perplexed when nobody seemed to react to this Matt Chapman home run.
Pitch, 1-2, swung on, hit the air to right. Back goes Stanton on the track, at the wall, leaping, and she is gone. It is a home run. They're all waiting. And why are they waiting?
Because Stanton caught the ball.
Coming off the field is Chapman. Stanton never threw the ball back in. No, Stanton just robbed Chapman of a home run. Wow. What a play by Stanton.
Okay, first of all, that audio sounds horrible. Was somebody recording that off their TV speaker for crying out loud? And then number two, he's doing that a lot lately. I mean, look, he's kind of the Dave Niehaus of the Yankees, so he can get away with it. But that's the second time this year that we've heard John Sterling totally botch a home run call.
Well, and he also said he didn't even throw the ball back in when I saw the highlight. He clearly threw the ball back in. John just wasn't looking at the time, and he threw the ball back in.
I feel bad for him, but I guess if there's anybody who can get away with it, it's that guy for sure. All right. Hey, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
Did you hear that?
Hear what?
After Malik Willis was drafted by the Tennessee Titans in the third round, the current Titan quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, was asked how he could help Willis as he makes the transition to be a quarterback in the NFL.
In a quarterback room, in the same room. You know, we're competing against each other. We're watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but, if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing. Being in a quarterback room in the same room, you know, we're competing against each other. We're watching the same tape. We're doing the same drills. I don't think it's my job to mentor him, but if he learns from me along the way, then that's a great thing.
Am I crazy?
Did he say that twice?
Or did we just hear the same clip twice?
You heard the same clip twice.
I'm like, am I going nuts here? Well, first of all, we heard it twice, so I think we get the gist of it. I think he's saying it's not his job to mentor Malik Willis, right? Which I agree with him. I don't think it is his job to mentor Malik Willis. I think it's the coaching staff's job to mentor Malik Willis and coach up Malik Willis. Now, if Ryan Tannehill wants to lead by example, right, and he can observe Ryan Tannehill, see how he does things, and every now and then maybe the guy gives him a tip or something, blah, blah, blah. But in general terms, it's absolutely not Ryan Tannehill's job to coach up or even mentor Malik Willis. That's the coach's job to do that.
And yet, would you not agree with Mike Holmgren, which we asked him this question yesterday, that's just not something you say publicly?
Yes, yes, because it's a no-win situation, because right. Everyone's going to get pissed off.
Of course.
I mean, this is maybe the next great player in Titans history, and we're all fired up for the guy to be here, and you're basically acting like you're pissed off the guy's there. I mean, that's how it comes across.
Of course.
It comes across as a guy who's angry that they drafted Malik Willis.
And insecure. It sounds like a guy that realizes he cost his team a chance to beat the Cincinnati Bengals because he threw two interceptions.
Yeah.
And they draft a quarterback in the very next draft who many people thought should have been the first quarterback drafted.
Cutthroat, man.
There is some insecurity issues with Ryan Tannehill.
Maybe a little bit. All right, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Let's get to number three, Anders. After getting fined for flipping off the fans, we'll head into the locker room in game two. Draymond Green did not seem to regret his choice and did not hold back in his dislike for Memphis in the post-game press conference.
You're going to boo somebody who get elbowed in the eye and face running on blood, you should get flipped off. So I'll take the fine. I'll go do an appearance and make up the money. But it felt really good to flip them off. You want to boo someone that get elbowed in the eye and blood running down your face? I could have had a concussion or anything. So if they're gonna be that nasty, I can be nasty too. And I'm assuming the cheers was because they know I'll get fined. Great, I make $25 million a year. I should be just fine.
That's what you always say.
What was the context of what happened there? Remind people what the situation was that he got mad about when he got elbowed in the face against the Grizzlies.
He got elbowed in the face. He went crazy. He got tossed out of the game, flipped the fans off. I mean, he did his whole Draymond Green thing, right? Draymond Green act. Draymond Green, he's got a special place in my heart, both positively and negative. Sometimes I see him do stuff that I absolutely love, and other times I see him do stuff that I absolutely can't stand. So I'm really torn on my take on Draymond Green.
How much was he fined, by the way? Do you know off the top of your head?
$25,000, I believe.
$25,000? Yeah. And he makes how much money?
$25 million.
Yeah. Okay, so doing some quick math here.
$1,000?
That is a... Yeah, I mean, that's basically what that is. That's the equivalent of a guy making
For $100,000 a year, it's 10 bucks.
Right, it's nothing. Yep.
It's 10 bucks.
Unbelievable. I mean, why don't you find him $500,000 and maybe it'll mean something to him. All right. Is number four worth playing, or is the audio going to annoy me if we play number four?
I think it's pretty good.
It is?
Yeah.
Well, that's him. Dick, what do you think?
As I recall, it is a Zoom call, but I think it's a fairly clear Zoom call.
Okay. And is Brady on the entire time, or
it's
is it
Brady
somebody
and
else?
Bieber, right?
Brady and Bieber?
Yeah.
As in Justin Bieber?
Yep.
What the hell? All right. Well, here we go. Tom Brady got involved in the latest trend on social media by admitting a certain controversial call early in his career might have been the wrong one. Check it out.
New trend alert. Tell me something honest.
Tuck rule game against the Raiders.
Might have been a fumble.
Wow. That is awesome. If you're a Raider fan, do you like hearing that, though? Does that piss you off? It's like Bill Levy apologizing all these years later for Super Bowl 40. Tom Brady admitting it might have been a fumble. Does that do anything for you at all?
I'd be more ticked if he continued to deny it, I think. Right. I think time heals all wounds, and if Bill Levy came out and was, you know, held a press conference and was like, listen, I mean, I totally screwed over the Seattle Seahawks. It was unintentional, but I had my worst game as an NFL official in the biggest game.
Which he basically said,
Did he say, like, I don't remember exactly what his apology terms
he
were.
He said there were some wrong calls. I think he apologized for the Matt Hasselbeck call, which was just weird.
Yeah.
I have no idea even what the hell he was doing.
Go block.
I don't know if he apologized for the Locklear thing. I mean, that's subjective, obviously, so anybody could argue whatever they want on a holding penalty. I just remember John Madden on the TV broadcast doing the game saying, I don't see holding.
Did he apologize okay. for D-Jack's offensive yeah. pass interference?
Well, that was actually maybe the right call because he might did push been. Off. But, I mean, look, they didn't lose the game because of the officials. Everybody wants to say they did. They had plenty of opportunities. If Jeremy Stephens could catch a damn seam route in that game, honestly, they may have routed Pittsburgh if Jeremy Stephens did not have the game that he had. And here's the thing that sucks about that play with Sean Locklear. Here we are 17 years later bitching about it, by the way. Jeremy Stephens caught the ball at the one on that play.
That's right.
And if he catches that ball and they score and take the lead, we might have a much different impression of that game.
No question about it. I mean, Sean Alexander was never denied that year at the one-yard line on a run. You just go behind Hutch and Walt, and you're all good.
All right. Well, Tom Brady says it was the wrong call. May have been a fumble. So there you go. All right, Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What's that, Dick?
What's that, Dick?
Let's get to number five with the Sounders making history on Wednesday night. Raul Ruy Diaz's second goal seemed to be the nail in the coffin for Pumas. I know everybody's walking around saying, you know what? I want to hear how that goal sounded on Spanish television. Here you go. Keep going.
The Seattle Sounders!
Okay, so I think what we should do when Jackson comes back is we should play that again and see how long he holds the goal for and see if Jackson can beat him on the air. I mean, you're the play-by-play guy here. How long could you do it for? You want to try it right now, and I'll time you.
Oh, boy.
What's your guess? What's your guess on how long you could hold the goal for without taking a breath or stopping? What's your best guess?
30?
30 seconds? All right, you ready? Three.
Am I really going to do that?
Two, one, go.
Goal!
Nope, 13 seconds is as long
no,
as
that wasn't
go.
A breath. I laughed.
Well, that's laughing.
Ouch. I didn't inhale.
It doesn't matter.
That's what Bill Clinton said.
If you cut it, you cut it. That's 13 seconds. Now text us to 49451. Tell us how annoying that was.
Okay. I kind of didn't want to go past 13 seconds.
13 seconds is as long as you can
I laughed. Laugh. I didn't.
Doesn't matter. You can't break it. You can't break all character. Right. You got to keep going. Those guys go to school, man. Kids are raised from birth.
Well, fortunately, in a storm game, I never have to hold a shot for 30
well,
seconds.
How about this? Who's the best three-point shooter on the Storm basketball team right now?
Oh, probably Sue still.
Sue Bird. Okay, yeah. So the first Sue Bird three tonight, I want to hear you on TV. Sue Bird for three!
For 30 seconds? Yeah, we'll get a
and see how long you can do.
We'll
it
get
for.
A call from Fox okay. 13. They'll be like, "Take God. This idiot off the air."
Was that the most annoying segment of the radio show? Yes or no? To 49451. How about this? Let's get right to number six. Dick, did you happen to hear that?
What
did
you hear that?
Hear what?
Garth Lagerwey, GM of the Sounders, did not hold back. Remember, he was on with us on Wednesday. And we asked him what it would be like to win this. He started crying on the air, literally mm-hmm. teared up on the air, did not hold back his joy in seeing Seattle have a chance to compete against the best soccer teams in the world. Go ahead.
You know, it's a dream come true again. I mean, and you know, we don't have the format yet. We don't have the location. I mean, we're told, hey, probably February-ish, probably Middle East, maybe. You know, but we're going to play Real Madrid or Liverpool, man, in a real game. Like, not for giggles against their reserve. We're going to play them for a trophy. Like, this is what you do it for, right? I mean, like it's just amazing. It is. I mean, I'd love to be real cool and calm and be like, it's no big deal, but it's a big deal. I mean, it's, you know, I, you know, get asked, you know, do you want to go do this in Europe or whatever? And I've always said I want to grow the American League. I want to make this one of the best leagues in the world. And if we can do that, we'll get to play meaningful games against these teams. And you'd be surprised, the World Cup's coming to 26, man. There is no limit. There is no sky. There's no ceiling. We can do this.
Wow. That's pretty cool, number one. And number two, what's even wackier about this thing is, can you imagine winning a tournament like that? And then knowing that you're going to move on to the next round and not having any idea who you're playing, when you're playing, or where you're playing. I mean, those are three pretty important things. And they don't know any of those. They're 0-3. Like, I always assumed, and maybe somebody can correct me, it was going to be Real Madrid or Liverpool, whoever wins that game. And, I mean, I don't know. At least Kevin Clocky, Lord Shockey, was telling me he doesn't know, even know if that's true. It could be February. It could be in Qatar. It could be against Real Madrid. It could be against somebody. We have no idea.
Well, Garth did say Real Madrid or Liverpool.
That's what he said, but apparently we don't even know if that's accurate or not.
Because they haven't played their Champions League final yet.
Right, but is it going to be one of those two teams?
Correct, whoever wins between them.
Okay, so we do know that then.
But we don't know if we're going to play them in the tournament.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, I got you.
Right, because they'll still go to the tournament, but we don't know if we'll be playing them.
But that's what we're talking about. I mean, who cares?
That's bizarre.
We know they're going. I'm talking about who the Sounders play. I always assumed, Anders, that it was locked in, that they would play the winner of Real Madrid versus Liverpool, and you're saying that's not accurate.
No, it's not. They actually have the European champion and the South American champion already have a bye, and then the rest of the world plays against each other to play those two teams.
And we don't even know where it is or when it is. I mean, you know, guys could get hurt between now and then. Rosters could look different. Now, Garth was on with Ian today and said they are lucky to have everybody signed through
next year,
next February.
Okay.
So unless there's a major injury like there was to Jordan Morris a while back, everybody's coming back. But it's part of what makes this whole thing unique.
Well, and we're learning about it because, I mean, we didn't even know what this league was a few months ago or even a few weeks ago. But what I just love, you know, Garth and Brian Schmetzer, just the unfiltered nature of those guys is so awesome. You don't just get the media speak. In fact, you never get the media speak from those guys.
Nope.
We put ourselves in a very, very, very good spot. And so let's make sure we don't f*** this up.
And the fact that they embrace that as a franchise
is
awesome. All right, let's go fast here. How about number seven, Andrews, on the Shay Shay podcast? Never heard of the Shay Shay podcast. Have you heard of the Shay Shay podcast?
I have not.
Are you sure that's the right name, by the way?
Yes, it is.
Okay. On the Shay Shay podcast with Shannon Sharp, DK Metcalf was asked how it would be to go up against Bobby Wagner twice a year.
How difficult or how unique is it going to be, I guess is a better, lack of a better word, seeing Bobby Wagner twice a year in a Rams uniform?
He got to see me. He don't have to see me. Hey. He know. I'm a run straight into him. Just so he know, just so he get this. As soon as I catch the ball, I'm running straight into him in the first play just to see how it feels to get tackled by B-Wag.
You want to see what it feels like?
Oh, yeah, because I had to play against – I mean, play with him the first 3 years, and everybody talking about, oh, yeah, he a beast. He hit hard. I want to test it out.
Wow.
That's going to be an interesting collision.
You remember in was it the Waterboy when Adam Sandler was on offense and he just would go kill people?
Hey, he'd jump over the line. Oh,
right.
When he's on offense.
But he's on, I think it was on both sides of the ball. He was on defense and offense or whatever, and he would just go after people.
Because he'd come flying over the line on blitzes.
And he would just kill the quarterback.
Yes.
He would kill people that don't have a football. How about if DK Metcalf, for the very first snap of the game, has just a quick slant thrown his way.
Love it.
And just says, the hell with it. I'm not doing that, and just goes and hunts down Bobby Wagner and just smashes right into him just to see what the reaction is. Who do you think wins a collision between DK Metcalf and Bobby
Wagner?
Well,
if DK's going, if he's got momentum, I'm taking DK. But if it's just a quick, like if he catches a quick over the middle and stops and tries to make a move, Bobby will pummel him.
Like an Oklahoma drill from back in the day, which apparently has been banned now, but whatever. No, I mean, I'm looking forward to that, to seeing what DK Metcalf does to Bobby Wagner. All right, let's get one more real quick one. Let's see. Dick, did you happen to 3, 2, and 1? Hear that.
What's that, Dave?
What's that, Dick?
Which one's the best between 8, 9, and 10, Anders?
I'd probably say the Gary Cohen Mets comeback is pretty good.
Okay, that's number 10, right? All right, down 6 runs in the 9th. Was this yesterday or two nights ago?
Last night.
Down 6 runs in the 9th against a division rival in Philadelphia. The Mets faced an uphill climb to continue their hot start to the season. Here's Gary Cohen on the call.
Brandon gets the curve and lines it into center field. A base hit in his canna. Here's Jankowski. He scores and the Mets have tied it. two-run single. The Mets have scored six times in the top of the ninth to tie this game at 7-7. What a rally.
And
Starling unloads one deep left center. Back to the warning track goes Herrera near the wall. It's off the base. Here's Nimmer around third. He'll come in to score, and the Mets take the lead. Unbelievable! Starling Marte with his third consecutive hit drives in the go-ahead run with a double, and the Mets with seven runs in the ninth lead it 8-7.
So the best part about that is it was in Philadelphia. And what do you think the Philly fans were doing at that game? They were up 7-1 going into the ninth inning, and the Phillies gave up seven runs in the ninth, and they lost 8-7. I mean, just to be in the crowd, to hear what the Philly fans were saying, the stuff they were throwing.
I would have loved to be in Kevin Shockey's office while he witnessed while he witnessed his Phillies just pee down their leg.
Unbelievable. By the way, do you do what I do and you nitpick at play-by-play guys a little bit?
Yes, I do.
What the hell does 7-7 mean? What is this, the Ryder Cup?
Yeah, exactly.
It's 7-7 now.
What? It's a hell of a cocktail.
Absolutely. I don't know what the hell he's talking about. All right, we're going to break. Kalen DeBoer is going to join us at 5 o'clock tonight, head coach of the Dogs. Testimonials coming in hot on the Tullamore Dew text line for 4:45 as we continue live from Jimmy's on First, baby. Getting ready for the M's and Rays tonight right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Thanks for making the switch to FM with us. Seattle's only FM sports station is spreading our wings. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, testimonials coming up next segment. Get him in 49451. I cheated, by the way, and checked the text line during the break.
Oh, yeah. So you know what's coming already?
Well, kind of. We got a fill-in guy, Anders, who's doing a hell of a job, but he's in for Jackson today. So, you know, you want to give the guy as much support as possible.
Except yesterday obviously, when you got mad at him.
Oh, Anders, my God, was I pissed at you. I went to bed cursing your name last night.
I had a bit of a rough one yesterday.
Woke up with a sore. Yeah, what the hell was going on, man? You want to talk to us about something?
No, I'm good.
Home problems?
Yeah, just scrambling a little bit, you know.
We had Uncle Softy's couch.
Yeah, well, we're always here for you, pal. So,
thank you.
Anyway, this guy texted in and said, FYI, Joao Paulo tore his ACL, out for the year. Like, wow, you don't say.
You don't say.
The coach was on the air with us yesterday and told us that. Broke the story
broke the
at 6
news
p.m.
With us yesterday.
On the radio show. I guess I just want to write the guy back and said, do you listen after 6 p.m. every night? Because Brian Schmetzer was on the air with us yesterday.
Well, you also put it in the update last hour.
I did. This guy says your goal call was not as bad as Dumb and Dumber. Right when they did the
the most annoying sound in the world, yeah.
But it was still pretty annoying.
It was annoying to me, and I was the one that was doing it.
I think we've stumbled upon something, man. All these Spanish broadcasters like to draw out their goal calls. I tell you what, man, nobody else in the WNBA has the guts to do this. All right, because they're not that dumb. So for tonight's call, when Sue Bird makes a three, I want you to draw the three out as long as humanly possible before Elise Woodward elbows you right in the ribcage. Don't even tell her you're doing it.
How about this? I'll draw it out long enough that you know I'm drawing it out for you.
All right.
All right? Is that
fair?
That
means I got to watch the game, though. I got to turn it on.
Wouldn't you watch it?
Because I'm going to be
here. Because you're going to be at the Mariners
I'm going to be at the
game.
Baseball game. I could tape it. I could DVR it. I'll DVR it, and then you tell me at what point of the game it happened, and I promise you'll go back and watch
fair
it
enough,
again.
Fair enough, because Sue's hit a three in like 28 straight games.
Oh, yeah.
So the chances are good that she'll hit another one.
Well, if you could just find a way to draw that three out, man. You know, it's like your little signal to the Softy and Dick audience that you're acknowledging them. Like Jeff Hornacek when he used to scratch his face at the free throw line to say hi to his kids. Which I always thought was dumb, but whatever. It was their little thing. So I think if you go on the broadcast, what channel is the game on tonight, by the way?
The game is on Fox Plus.
Which is what channel?
Which is 110,
Comcast?
The old Joe TV.
Perfect. 110.
It is also on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
And it is also on Twitter.
So I got to pay extra to watch you call
a game? You can watch on Twitter.
It's on the Storm Twitter account?
It's on Twitter. It's on the WNBA Twitter.
Will you send out a link before the game?
Yes, I will.
Okay. Well, where do you prefer we watch the game? Because
I don't care. Wherever you are,
what gets you the most money? What gets you the most ratings?
I get paid very little no matter where you watch it. How about that?
Well, what gets you paid less? Tell me to turn on that. So Amazon Prime, Twitter or 110 on Xfinity tonight.
That's
and you
correct.
Can you can watch Dick Fain and Elise Woodward and Piper Shaw.
And I will draw out the call.
Dick and his harem of women tonight, by the way.
That's right.
On the call. And Dick is promising that Subert's first three or any three that she makes.
No, it'll be a just
random
know.
Three. Will
it'll
it be a Subert three? Or
not
anybody's
necessarily.
Three? Okay, so
because I can't guarantee you she's going to hit one. Tonight.
Any random three throughout the game, all right? And you may as well make it the first one because they may only hit one the entire game. Who knows?
Let's hope not.
The Stormer 1-for-20 from downtown against
and I
Minnesota.
Missed my opportunity.
You're going to draw the three out, and that is your way of saying hello to the Asafi and Dick audience
I can do that.
Tonight.
No
okay.
problem.
Well, the M's are back. How concerned are we about what's happening in the last 9 games? They're 1-8 in their last 9. They've lost 4 in a row. They've gone from, what, 11-6 to 12-14. After a 4-3 loss yesterday, Logan Gilbert, the losing streak stopper, is on the mound tonight. And, you know, I mean, am I concerned? I don't know if concerned is the right word. I'd be a lot more concerned if this was happening later in the year. But, you know, I mean, they're going to have bumps in the road, and the offense is going to have its issues. And I just want to see this offense at full strength. And I'm sorry, but with Mitch Haniger not playing, they're just not.
What is bizarre, though, if you look at the team batting statistics in all of Major League Baseball,
they're
and you
down,
go to
yeah.
the OPS column, the right. Mariners, as awful as they have been, the right. Seattle Mariners are 16th in baseball in OPS. I mean, that is right in the middle of the pack. They're 13th in on-base yeah. percentage.
How much of that has to do with what happened in the first 12, 13 games of the
well,
year?
Well, yeah, they were right. probably top yeah. five at that
right.
point, and
right.
they've been bottom five since. But, you know, the point is, in a month of baseball, they're right smack in the middle. Now, we need them to be better than right smack in the middle in order for them to make the playoffs, but I don't think you need them to be top 10. I think you need them somewhere between 10 and 15 with the pitching
yeah.
staff that you have should be enough to make the playoffs.
Well, I just think you have to be elite at something, right? Elite at something and probably at least average at something else. And last year, they were not average offensively. They were a bad offensive yeah. baseball team, especially at one point in the year when we were all talking about how they were among the worst ever to play the game. And you can't be a legitimate championship baseball team when at any point in the year, excuse me, people were talking about you being the worst offensive team of all time in the history of baseball. And right now, and I still feel a little queasy, by the way, like literally queasy. I'm about to throw up for some reason. I just got something stuck in my throat. I'm kidding, by the way. They got two guys with batting averages, regulars over .233. And I don't count Tom Murphy as a regular. The guy's played 13 games.
Right.
He's played half the season.
Fair
so,
enough.
J.P. Crawford's hitting .363. Ty France hitting .330. Everybody else is .233 or below. I know it's early, but still. J.P. Crawford and Ty France have OPSs so far of .1036 and .901. Everybody else, every other regular Dick on this team is .715 or below. That is crazy. That is a crazy gap between your top two players and everybody else. Now, again, I'll say it for the 500th time. It's May the 6th. Three or four of these guys have a hot week, and those numbers are going to skyrocket. But that's what you're dealing with right now.
Well, Adam Frazier got 1/6 of his hits in one baseball game. I mean, you take out 4-for-5 against Houston, and you're talking about a guy that's hitting well under .200 right now.
Right,
so, I
right.
mean, that's just bizarre to me. I thought he'd come and be a high average guy, not a lot of power, but a high average and play good defense. And thus far, his OPS is at .625. That has been brutal.
Yeah. Well, Julio Rodriguez was having a pretty good week, and then last night he goes 0-for-4, but he strikes out three times. I mean, I think what's really cool about Julio is that he seems to be kind of learning to adapt to the strike zone a little bit. And I don't know. You know, hell, we may want to get an ex-umpire on the air and ask him, how much of this is this guy just getting the rookie treatment? Do rookie hitters get rookie treatment from umpires out there? And then, like Booty said yesterday, and I think this is a real thing, man, you combine, I think, a pissed-off group of umpires that are being run out of town by robots, and some of this is starting to kind of come to the surface because I'm not just seeing the Mariners get hosed by this. I'm seeing a lot of fan bases around baseball
yep.
complain about missed calls behind the plate.
Aaron Boone went absolutely nuts.
Oh, my
God. Mad Bum went mad bum on,
yes.
the, on the umpire. You know, it's been crazy. And, you know, another thing that's really hurt this team, I mean, would you call our guest at later on in the show at 5:30, Pauly Sewald, one of the MVPs of this baseball team
yeah,
last year?
Totally.
One of your MVPs of the baseball team last year, and Mitch Haniger as well. I mean, those guys have hardly played.
Right.
I mean, between COVID And then the fact that as soon as Paul, like the minute Paul Sewald came off the COVID list,
right,
the Mariners started losing every game 3-0, so he never got a chance to pitch. I mean, this guy has pitched in 6 games all season long, and he was one of your MVPs last year.
Well, you mentioned the runs where they rank in runs, and they've scored 5 runs in the last 4 games, by the way. They got a stretch between April 23rd and April 26th, where they scored 26 runs in 3 games, 30 in 4 games. So
who was that against?
That was against Kansas City in the first game of the Rays series. And really, ever since that winning streak came to an end, they've been, for the most part, struggling mightily offensively. Yeah. All right,
Kansas City's a terrible baseball team.
Let's get a break. Testimonials 494-51. Lots of topics to go over. And then Kalen DeBoer will join us, the head coach of the Dogs, at 5 o'clock. Coming up, is he ready yet to name a starting quarterback? And if he is, will he do it on our show?
Yes.
We'll find out at 5 right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon, parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
You know, I'm reminded, by the way, when I was taking the early look at the text line today, which I'm not supposed to do, but I did it today because Jackson's out, of how much I love the word numbnuts.
It's a good one.
It's a great word.
It's a good one.
Numbnuts and dipstick, to me, are just
great.
Under frickin' rated, man. Look at these numbnuts. Look at that dipstick.
Dipstick was highly used in the 80s.
Oh.
I remember using that term over and over again in school.
The guy is just a numbnut. I love it. All right, 494-51. Tullamore Dew text line. Anders, we're talking earlier about the worst job people have ever had. Talked about being a dishwasher and going home so tired that you wouldn't even take a shower and wake up at 2 in the morning and peel the sheets off your dirty, nasty, gnarly skin from slinging dishes all night long. So you tell us, 494-51. Anders, what do you got?
Worst job. Had to burn the human waste while in the Marines during Desert Shield / Storm.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's, wow, yeah.
Wow.
First of all, thanks for your service, number one.
Yes.
And number two, yeah, that would be, that kind of seems like, maybe that guy can write back or that gal can write back and say, if you're in the service and you're overseas and you're burning human waste, that's part of your job. Is that a job that, like, everybody has to kind of rotate and do one time? Or is there one person responsible for that? You know what I'm talking about?
I would imagine whoever the lowest person on the totem pole
is that it?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Was your dad in the military?
He was.
My dad was too. So I'll ask him, is there like an official like crap burner in the Army or the Marines, or does everybody have that job at least like
one
time?
Well, my dad was on a ship.
Okay,
so there was no burning of crap on the ship.
Your
unless
dad
they
wasn't
actually
burning poop on a boat?
unless they threw it in to use it for fuel.
I got you. Well, to that guy or gal that called in,
well
thank
done.
You. Thank
yeah,
you
well
for
done.
Your service, for sure. You're right. That's a horrible job. That's an awful job. All right, what's next?
Worst job? Substitute school bus driver on the second to last day of school.
Ooh. Oh, when the kids just don't give a damn.
Yeah.
Suspend me. Fine. Go ahead. See what happens. I'm going to chuck an orange to the bus driver's head.
You think about it.
And I'm a senior, too.
God
and
bless.
I don't care.
God bless bus drivers. And I'll tell you what, we found out how important bus drivers were at the beginning of this school year when we were scrambling. Like every district was scrambling to get
find
bus drivers.
Drivers.
Oh, my God.
Right.
We had days at the beginning of the year where it took our kids an hour and a half to get home because the bus driver would have to do double routes. Because there wasn't enough to do a single route.
It's a thankless job, and God bless those people, man. I mean, I'm just at my – I got to be honest with you, pal. I'm at my wit's end with this police officer thing. I got to be totally honest with you, man. You know, you spend all these times in the last couple years villainizing cops and telling people how bad cops are, and now you're begging people to be cops, and nobody wants to be a cop. I mean, really? What did you think was going to happen? Now you got to offer bonuses to hire frickin' police officers. You crap all over them. You tell people how bad they are, and now you wonder why nobody wants to be a damn cop. What the hell?
Why does the pendulum have to
it's unbelievable.
Swing so far to both sides? Why does it have to swing so far?
It boils my freaking blood. Boils my blood to think about stuff like that. All right, what's next, Anders?
First job, recycled hazardous waste in 1993. Yuck.
Maybe Hanford?
Yeah, yeah.
You working at Hanford, maybe?
I don't know. Did you ever see the, what's the HBO, the Chernobyl special?
I did. I thought it was fantastic.
Unbelievable.
Dark, but really, really good.
Very detailed, very realistic. Man, I got appreciation for people that even come within 100 miles of that stuff. because what those people do is ridiculous, man. God bless you. All right, what's next?
Can't stand Dick Fane, but he calls a damn good game for the Storm.
There you go. Can't stand you, but he likes in the Fane broadcast, you know, the Storm broadcast.
I'll take a backhanded compliment over no compliment
that's fine.
At all, right?
You know what? It's better to be loved than not loved at all, man. So that guy loves you in the Storm broadcast.
It's fun. Right. I really, really enjoy it.
Yeah. You're good at it.
You're 15, man. I've been doing for 15
You're very
damn
good
years.
At it, and I'm shocked that nobody has given you a shot at doing the NBA yet because
you're
I'm just saying anywhere. Anywhere around the country, right? I mean, if the Lakers or Pistons or Knicks called you and said, hey, move the New York and call the Knicks games. $500 million a year.
You know how many times I've marketed myself the NBA? That would be zero because I really don't want to leave this
You're
city.
Good at it. I mean, you suck at this, but you're good at that.
Yeah,
according to that guy.
According to that guy. Well, evidently according to you, too.
What's next?
I think you guys are crazy with your low expectations of the Hawks. I feel their roster is better than last year. It doesn't have a huge prima donna distraction and is totally energized by that. With it said, if Gino sees playing time, we're doomed.
Everything's great. The prima donna's gone. The roster's great. But if Gino Smith plays, we're screwed.
Hey, I can buy what he's selling as far as the roster being better. I think other than the quarterback position, the roster is better. But that quarterback position means about 4 or 5 or 6 wins.
Oh, that is funny. That is so funny.
That was great.
The team is better. There's no prima donna. The chemistry is great. The atmosphere is awesome. But if Gino plays, we're doomed. Poor Gino. He's a good dude.
He's a very good dude.
That poor bastard. Oh,
you know
my
what?
God.
He had his shot.
I know he did.
Man.
I know
he had his shot, and he fumbled and bumbled it away.
God, that's funny. All right, what's next?
Just curious. If we had the same roster and Wilson were QB, what would the expectations be for this season?
Well, I think anytime you have Russell Wilson as your quarterback, you expect to be a playoff contender. Absolutely. And even a championship contender. I think with this roster, and you had Russell Wilson at quarterback, and Rashad Penny and Kenneth Walker and DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett, and let's see what the rookies do on the offensive line. But the line should be better by, you know, just by default, they should be better, right? Austin Blythe over Ethan Posick, guys like that. I think you're a 10-11 win team.
10-11.
Totally, yeah.
Yep.
And with Russell Wilson.
And without him, like I said, there's probably a 3-4 win difference between Russell Wilson and what you got. I mean, we've talked about quarterback war before, and it doesn't go much higher than 4. Like, quarterbacks don't make a 8-game difference in your schedule, but they do make a 3 or 4-game difference in your schedule. So instead of 10-7, you're 7-10.
All right, we got time for one more. Go ahead.
If a team thought Baker could play, he would have been moved by now.
Well, I think that there's nobody out there that really needs a quarterback anymore, and maybe that's why, because the Panthers drafted somebody. They could have made a play for Baker Mayfield. I just don't think anybody's in the mood to trade for the guy, anything, even a 6th-round draft pick for the guy. And I think everybody assumes at some point he's going to get cut. Maybe Florio's right, that because of Deshaun Watson's suspension possibility, they hang on to him. But, man, I would say good luck with that. Good luck having Baker Mayfield on your football team where you basically said you're going to be moving on. So he's an emotional guy anyway, and having him buy in as a backup, man, even for a month or a couple of months, that's got disaster written all over it.
No question. I mean, maybe if a team loses their starting quarterback first week of camp and he hasn't gone anywhere yet, they give Cleveland a call and they say, hey, we'll give you a 6th-round draft pick for him. You got to pay some of his deal, but we're kind of as desperate to have him as you are to. I mean, that's Cleveland's best case scenario, I think. It's just hold on to him. Hey, what's the chances a starting quarterback goes down in camp for a month or more?
Yeah.
Maybe 20%?
Well, Tony Romo went down here courtesy of Cliff Averill.
Did.
Remember that?
But starters really don't play anymore, do they?
No. And there's only 3 games, too. All right, let's get a break. We'll talk some Husky football. Kalen DeBoer, does he have what it takes to get us back to the glory years, baby?
Billy Joe Hobart
of Husky football. We'll talk to the coach of the Dogs next on Softy and Dick on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.